Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
ISKCON Sanstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki
Jai,
Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki
Jai,
Thanks of the whole Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Ki
Jai,
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Punaratha Kumiki Gurikhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Vadik Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Kumiki Jai, Vangamayi Ki Jai, Jamanamayi Ki Jai, Yusri Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, all glories to the assembled world, all glories to the assembled world, all glories to the assembled world. Over praying on day. Okay, you got the Mridanga Player's Silver Star Award. The whole part is just to listen and to follow, right? Did a good job. Mridanga Player doesn't get paid extra for reaching the goal early. Now, what are we doing today? Isha Upanishad or everybody's questions?
You can begin with Isha Upanishad and after some time you can take questions.
Kurvane deha karmani
Kurvane deha karmani
Chiti vishayach tatam sama
Chiti vishayach tatam sama
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Na karma dipyate nare
Na karma dipyate nare
Okay, this is text 2. Kurvane deha karmani
Kurvane deha karmani
Jivishech chatam samaha
Jivishech chatam samaha
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Na karma dipyate nare
Na karma dipyate nare
Kurvane veha karmani
Kurvane veha karmani
Jivishech chatam samaha
Jivishech chatam samaha
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Karma dipyate nare
Na karma dipyate nare
Kurvan eveha karmani
Kurvan eveha karmani
Jiji visheshatam samaha
Jiji visheshatam samaha
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Na karma Yate nare,
na karma yate nare,
Kurvanne veha karmani,
Kurvanne veha karmani,
Viji visheshatam samaha,
Evam tvai nanyate tosti,
na karma yate nare,
Kurvanne veha karmani
Kurvanne veha karmani
Jivishechatam samaha
Jivishechatam samaha
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Evam tvai nanyate tosti
Na karma lipyate nare
Na karma lipyate nare
Kurvan doing continuously.
Doing continuously.
Eva.
Thus.
Iha. During the span of life.
During the span of life.
Karmani.
Work.
Jiji vishet. One should desire to live.
One should desire to live.
Shatam. 100.
100.
Samaha. Years.
Yes.
Evam. Soul living.
Soul living.
Vayi.
Vayi.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Na.
Na.
No.
No.
Anyata,
Anyata,
alternative,
alternative,
Itaha,
Itaha,
from this path,
from this path,
Asti,
Asti,
there is,
there is,
Na,
Na,
not,
not,
Karma,
Karma,
work,
work,
Lipyate,
Lipyate,
can be bound,
can be bound,
Nare,
Nare,
unto a man,
unto a man.
One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way. For that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. We'll read a little of the purport. No one wants to die. Everyone wants to live as long as he can drag on. This tendency is visible not only individually, but also collectively in the community, society, and nation. There's a hard struggle for life by all kinds of living entities, and the Vedas say that this is quite natural. The living being is eternal by nature, but due to his bondage in material existence, he has to change his body over and over. This process is called transmigration of the soul, or karma bandhana, bondage by one's work. The living entity has to work for his livelihood, because that is the law of material nature. And if he does not act according to his prescribed duties, he transgresses the law of nature and binds himself more and more to the cycle of birth and death. Om Janati Nirantasya Vinanjana Shalakaya Chakrur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishkam Kavitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Mayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudhada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavasya Shri Ruham Sabradatam Sahagana Raghunatham Yitam Sam Savivam Sadaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamsha He Krishna Sarana Sindho Neela Bandho Najasate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Bhakta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gopatarubhyascha Kripasindho Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Mano Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kurvanne Veha Kurmani Jiji Vishesh Tam Samaha Evam Tvai Nanyate Tosti Nakarma Lipyate Nare. We heard yesterday that everything is owned and controlled by Ishan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one has a right to accept one's quota, but not take more. Here, if one goes on in this spirit, recognizing that everything is Krishna's, one can go on for thousands of years without getting entangled. Yajartat karmanon yatra loku yam karmabhati. Bhagavad Gita said that if one does everything for the sake of yajna or Krishna, then one is not entangled. But lokoyam adyatra lokoyam karmabandha. If one doesn't act for the sake of Krishna, then one becomes implicated in the actions and reactions of its activities. There's karma, there's vikarma, there's akarma. Actions against the rules of scripture, actions in accordance with the rules of scripture. And Prabhupada says, actually, one shouldn't do anything else but work in devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We come to that. Actually, no one has to do anything more than render devotional service to the Lord. However, in the lower stages of life, one cannot immediately adopt the activities of devotional service, nor can one stop fruitive work. A conditioned soul is accustomed to working for sense gratification, for his own selfish interests, immediate or extended. An ordinary man works for his own sense enjoyment, and when this principle of sense enjoyment is extended to include his society, nation, or humanity in general, it assumes various attractive names, such as altruism, socialism, communism, nationalism, and humanitarianism. These isms are certainly very attractive forms of karma bandhana, karmic bondage. But the Vedic instruction of Sri Yusha Upanishad is that if one actually wants to live for any of the above isms, he should make them God-centered. There's no harm in becoming a family man or an altruist, a socialist, a communist, a nationalist, or a humanitarian, provided one executes his activities in relation with Isha Vasya, a God-centered conception. And Prabhupada says that a humble, God-centered life is more valuable than a colossal hoax, the life dedicated to godless altruism or socialism. Prabhupada points out that the tree may live for thousands of years, but without Krishna consciousness, what is the big use? Well, there's, yes. Do you have some questions left over for this morning? We'll see if the question is Michael giving to me all. Page 1 of 2. Not very big pages. The analogy is given of a tree whose roots are watered and leaves are nourished. How is it that by devotional service to the Supreme Lord, the whole existence is satisfied? Because Krishna is satisfied. When Krishna is satisfied, then he's the complete whole, the parts are satisfied. We find the pastime that Durvasa Muni was requested by Duryodhana to visit the Pandavas in the forest and take advantage of their splendid hospitality. So they came, and the Pandavas were in trouble, because Draupadi had finished her meal. There's the Akshayapatra's not giving any more. And Durvasa came with all of his so many followers. And he's known for being irascible, being easily angered. So Yudhisthira said, yes, welcome. Take your bath in the river and then come back and we'll serve you nicely. Then now, while they're in the river, what to do? So Krishna came, and Draupadi was in distress, and Krishna said, anything left in the pot? No, nothing's left. But a little grain or two was discovered, and Krishna took that grain. And then all the sages, taking their bath, felt full, and they thought this was a good Yudhisthira, must have prepared so many nice things for us, but better we just go. So when Krishna is satisfied, everyone's satisfied. Or we have experience in our temples that we're not working for our sense gratification. Out there in the material world, everyone's on his own, trying to satisfy his senses, and no one is satisfied. And here, we don't have very fancy sense gratification. You men are living in, you know, barracks, basically, simple accommodations. The food is not five-star hotel food. The sex is non-existent. So, how are you getting any happiness? How are you getting any happiness? You're happy because you're serving Krishna. Krishna's happy, so you're happy. Simple. So, when Krishna's satisfied, then you're satisfied, and everyone connected with Krishna. Only the demons are dissatisfied. Stane Rishikesha Tamakrakirtya Jagat Pravishya Yanarajateja Bhakshansi Pitani Dushodravanti Namasyanti Sarve Namasyanti Jasita Sangha. My dear Rishikesha, controller of the senses of everyone, hearing your glories, your kirtan, the whole world becomes joyful. Jagat Pravishya, everyone celebrates. Yes, they're all happy. Stane Vishikesha Jagata Tuvakrakirtya. Then, Jagat Pravishya Janarajatecha. They're all happy. But, Rakshanshi Itani Dishodravati, the demons are scattering like cockroaches when you turn the light on. They're all psh. To show you that but Sarve Namasyanti Chasita Sangati, perfected beings are all offering you their obeisances. So this is it. The tree, when you water the root, all leaves and branches are watered except for those that have been cut off. They don't get any benefit. Somehow drop the leaves that have dropped off the tree. They don't get anything from the water. So everyone is happily maintained when connected with Krishna. It's only when we disconnect ourselves that we feel trouble. There seems to be so much disconnection. For example, we're trying to serve the Lord in Pune, but maybe in
terrorist prone areas,
living beings in hell, heaven, are still suffering. Why aren't they satisfied by our devotional service? If they're connected with Krishna, they'll all be satisfied. Only when they disconnect. Same answer. All material world of a terrorist prone area. Terrorists of birth, death, disease, age may attack anyone. That okay? Some devotees say that we have to hear from only one person in our spiritual life. Is it correct? Please explain. Well, those who think they should only hear from one person Unless that person is me, probably aren't interested in my answer. One time there was a discussion of among the editors of Back to Godhead, Srila Prabhupada met with them. And one question arose, can we have more than one article by you, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, no, everyone one, just one article, one person. Srila Prabhupada said, actually, all the articles are written by me. They're just divided up and should be divided up under different names. We're all repeating what we heard from Srila Prabhupada. All the authors are, no one's writing something different. So Prabhupada's the author of all the articles, but it's divided up under different names. So everyone, we're all meant to be mouthpieces for Srila Prabhupada, just speaking the same philosophy, the same teaching, same conclusions. We don't want to hear from the Mayavadis at all, however well they might speak. We don't want to hear from the materialists, but we want to hear from the devotees who present the same conclusion. Therefore, when Prabhupada, at first in 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada was giving all the classes. There was no one else to do it. Then Prabhupada went to San Francisco, and then the devotees themselves had to give the classes. Gradually, they learned to do that. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he was encouraging the temple president. He wrote a letter to the temple president of New York, to the point that everyone should attend the Bhagavatam class, and including the temple president. That was, I think, part of the point. And Prabhupada said, just like here in Vrindavan, he said, I am attending, I think he said, the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, and I am enjoying hearing how they are speaking. And so Prabhupada said, don't try to be a greater Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. That everyone should attend the class and hear. And Prabhupada certainly knew that so many people were giving the class. But that's our proving. Now that said, perhaps the point of the question was that we have our spiritual master and we don't want to hear things that are at odds with our spiritual master's message, but that's all right. What we hear should support the message or the teachings that we get from our group. That's fair. Yes?
Can I further add to that question? Sometimes the devotees, the very senior devotees also, who feel that sometimes the focus may change. And so their argument is just like a child is kept in a cradle and then allowed to go into a room, move around in a room, then the house, and then you allow the child to go to the, you know, outside the house. So similarly, devotee should be trained by one person, and after 8-10 years of, you know, observing them and instructing them and they practicing, then we should allow them to move around and even hear other ISKCON devotees. They need not even hear other ISKCON devotees, only one person should be guiding them. And for the followers, it becomes very easy. I get to hear from one person and I don't get bewildered. So they also kind of try to cling to that one person. But something happens to that one person and the whole system flops.
Something happens to the one person and the whole system flops. And also you get people who are like, I can't hear from anyone else but my one person. So they're like social cripples or something, you know. If anyone else speaks, they don't know quite what to do.
They don't go to temple or also attend classes.
I don't know what kind of philosophy this is. It's not what Prabhupada taught us. Yeah, here for 7 or 10 years, I know they were like devotees who joined, and the day after the other day they were initiated, Prabhupada said, now go start a temple. And we're such, we have to be so careful that you have to be trained for 7 or 10 years before you can go out. Doesn't quite sound right. Now, if they're, again, people who are saying this, they may have their own explanation, and I'm hearing it secondhand, so that's not quite fair to them, I suppose, but the way you're presenting it doesn't quite sound. Right.
Anything else?
What may the soul to get bewildered by the dead matter covering over him? Matter is dead, soul is the living force. And why the spirit soul get bewildered by the dead lump of flesh? Yeah, that's answered in Bhagavad Gita, it's jatvesha samudhena. We talked about that yesterday. Because of an independent desire to enjoy and envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He'd rather try to enjoy some dead matter than serve the living God. There's a Mr. John Milton has written a celebrated poem called Paradise Lost, and there Satan has a classic line. He says, speaking about a princely reign, says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. That's it in a nutshell. This is the materialistic or demonic mentality. Better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. So that independent spirit, that false sense of independence, false sense of enjoying proprietorship or eligibility to enjoy, immediately puts us in material consciousness or the material world, sargayati world. Yes.
I had one comment and one question. So the question is this, Maharaj. I heard from some devotees that Prabhupada said 99% of advancement depends on your chanting Hare Krishna. So, but I tried to search it, I could not find. So, can you please throw some light on this statement, which is not very, it's quite difficult for me to accept it fully, heartily.
Well, you heard that Prabhupada said 99% of our advancement comes by chanting Hare Krishna. And you can't find the quote. I've never seen the quote either. I've heard 99% of your advancement comes by association. And probably if I look that up, I won't find it either. At least it has the advantage of being, having been around since a very long time. At least my version has the advantage of having been around for a long time. I've heard this since like 1970. But Sangha Sanjayate Kama in the Bhagavad Gita, by association, one's desires to know. Prabhupada gives so much importance. Of course, one can get similar quotations about the holy name, but that association is crucial. Anyway, we're not doing an annual report where we have to get our percentages down. We all understand that chanting Hare Krishna is vital, and that associating with devotees is also vital, and that everything we're being taught is important. It's not that we just chant Hare Krishna and neglect everything else. We can't, first of all.
So thank you very much, Maharaj, for that clarification. And the comment was about what Kanai Thakur Prabhu was saying. So if such apparently non-heard from Prabhupada, such comment with such nice analogy, so that analogy we can tell that also that, you know, in nuclear family this applies. You know, in the Vedic culture there was one child was handled by so many people. In the family, in the Vedic family, there were many multiple people around the same one small child.
Yes.
And they were all, the child is raised by the community.
Yes.
And the whole village. So this kind of so-called logic can be given this logic.
Yeah, if we go by logic, we can come up with so many logical, sensible, reasonable way to do things. But that's not really our process. Not that we're unreasonable or illogical, but our main source of authority is by hearing from the acharyas and trying to follow the acharyas. If Prabhupada instituted such a system, we'd all be following it.
Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Which is very clear in the translation, and Bhagavatam class will be given by different person every day.
Correct.
So that is very clear what Prabhupada is saying.
Correct. Yes. Anyway, anyone who comes with such arguments, you can say, I only listen to one person, and you're just not him.
Maharaj, yes. In this context only, Prabhupada at the time, he really prevented his disciples to go and hear from many of his godbrothers. When he heard, when he saw that by his hearing from them, the disciples' faith on Prabhupada may get hampered. So one logic, one reason may be that the preacher may want because the follower is new in Krishna Bhakti, he may want that because he is not mature, his faith should not get diverted. You can comment over it. Prabhupada also said that prevent his followers from going and hearing from his god brothers and say that don't go to them, they are, he commented something very strong.
Yes, he commented many things that were very strong. The point is that the Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Kuriyakya Arna Kuriyamaniyasha. One should have full faith in the words of the spiritual master. Sri Guru Chodane Rutiye Shayutama Koti. In our process, faith in the spiritual master is essential. And Srila Prabhupada was very careful to see that that faith was protected. Even some of Prabhupada's, of the members of the Gaudiya observed that the ISKCON devotees may not know as much Shastra, they may not know all the proper principles of Vaishnavachara, but their Guru Nishtha is amazing and very strong. And actually, that's how ISKCON grew. It's not because Prabhupada started with all learned, educated, highly educated, cultured Brahmanas. It started with the irregulars, people who whoever Krishna sent. But that was the qualification, that his followers had faith in his direction. And therefore, everything has grown up around that. So Prabhupada's concern with not only his godbrothers, but various the Brijvasis, the all sorts of Mayavadis, materialists. We're sorry that we Prabhupada put most of his godbrothers in the same, or we needed to put most of his godbrothers in the same bin as those we shouldn't hear from. But that was the concern, that they, unfortunately, if the history has to be told, they were not happy that Prabhupada was spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, and they weren't. And therefore, Prabhupada said in so many ways that they tried to block him, or they simply didn't want to help, or they would try to, like even now, if you go to Mayapur, I think on the Chaitanya Mantras, someplace there's like a sign that says that this is the fountainhead of, you know, the centers of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, in one sense, that's true, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the Acharya who, under whose order Srila Prabhupada was acting. In another sense, it's not true. This movement has been successful only because Srila Prabhupada acted, what would you say? Because he acted with or without help from the Gaudiya Math. It's not that the Chaitanya Math or any of the other Gaudiya societies, through their full energy into helping Srila Prabhupada, if there was anything they could do that would help him, they wouldn't do it. That was his objection. That objection probably expressed in very colorful language, but I won't repeat it here. That was the point. That was the point, that they were not appreciative, or they were competitive even, and so on. But that was unfortunate, because Prabhupada would have been, he wanted to the members of the Gaudiya Math to join in his campaign, join in his success even, but they were not willing. I don't think the situation is analogous. As we weren't to hear from Prabhupada's godbrothers, no one should hear from anyone else in his kind except one person, whichever person that is. The analogy is not close. Anything else about this? Yes.
Someone says, ISKCON directly is having so many people are giving lectures and everything. If somebody misses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they would like to hear online from others.
Yeah, I mean, I tuned in, it wasn't ISKCON Desire Tree, it was whatever the Vrindavan site is where they have the daily class. And I was listening to the class, and some of them were better and some of them were worse. I listened to it one day, and the class happened to be given by one of my grand disciples. And I thought, wow, this is a fantastic class. You know, I couldn't give such a good class. But then other times, so I don't mind hearing from my disciples or my grand disciples. who are anyone else's disciples or grand disciples who are giving class in Vrindavan. Not that only I only hear from Prabhupada, or I only hear from one person, or I only hear from people who what toe the party line that I might have, or something like that. It's wonderful to hear. Someone, Pushyakata Prabhu, wrote a beautiful Sanskrit Ashtakam, glorifying Prabhupada, in which he compared his con to a desire tree with so many branches and fruits. That's the Chaitanya tree, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many branches. One trunk is there, so many branches, and so many sub-branches and sub-sub-branches. That's good. If we want to just keep it all scrunched up tight, it would be very difficult.
Hare Krishna. Regarding this only issue, somebody say one should one quote also in transcription. One should hear from pure devotee of the Lord, mouth of the pure devotee. And somebody may repeat the message, but his conscience is not pure. It may affect the other person's consciousness. So by that reason, one may say one should hear pure devotee, or one should hear.
What is pure devotee?
Say pure devotee is Prabhupada and extended to one's spiritual master.
They're the only pure devotees?
Direct or indirect, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's it, huh? There's a letter, a very illuminating letter. Yeah, you have the database finders on with their phones. There's a letter to Siddhasarupa, to Tushta Krishna Swami. I don't know the date. And Prabhupada, we haven't seen the letter that Tushta Krishna Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada writes back and says that, I'll give you some background, that there's a devotee, Siddhasarupananda Goswami, at the time, who was kind of a yogi, or he had his own followers, his own group, quite a number, tens or maybe even hundreds of disciples, and he surrendered to Prabhupada. And when he surrendered, his disciples all surrendered. But naturally, they had some special regard for Siddhasarupananda. And his right-hand man was one, was this Tushta Krishna Swami, who had also surrendered to Prabhupada, but who had very high estimation of Siddhasarupananda Goswami. So he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. We haven't seen that letter, but Prabhupada writes back and says that, "I think you have the wrong idea." He said, "Siddhasarupananda is certainly an exalted person or a pure devotee." He said, "But so are the others." He said, "Siddhasarupananda or non-Siddhasarupananda." He said, "They're all pure devotees." He said, "All of my disciples are pure devotees." He said, "Certainly your Siddhasarupananda can go back to Godhead." He said, "But Tamal Krishna can also go, and this one can also go, and that one can also go." He named various disciples. Prabhupada said, "We'll have another ISKCON up there." He said, "Only Mr. Nair can't go." So I think this
14th December
1970. Okay, so this is nice to read because Prabhupada expresses it so nicely. So. You speak of pure devotee. Okay, let's see. Your next question, after leaving this material realm, does the devotee remain forever with his spiritual master? The answer is yes. But I think you've got the mistaken idea in this connection. You speak of pure devotee, that he is Shaktyavesh Avatar, that we should obey him only. These things are the wrong idea. If anyone thinks like that, that a pure devotee should be obeyed and no one else, that means he is a nonsense. We advise everyone to address one another as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So how the master should be disobeyed? Others, they are also pure devotees. All of my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It may be Siddha Swarup or others, not Asiddha Swarup. This must be very clearly stated. It is not only that your Siddha Swarup is a pure devotee and not others. Do not try to make a faction. Siddha Swarup is a good soul, but others should not be misled. Anyone who is surrendered to the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It doesn't matter if Siddha Swarupa or non-Siddha Swarup. Amongst ourselves, one should respect others as Prabhu, master, one another. As soon as we distinguish, here is a pure devotee, here is a non-pure devotee, that means I am a nonsense. Why you only want to be in the spiritual sky with Siddha Swarup? Why not all? If Siddha Swarup can go, why not everyone? Siddha Swarup will go, you will go, Shyam Sundar will go, all others will go. We will have another ISKCON there. Of course, Mr. Nair must stay. Any other questions in this regard?
My students have some another topic.
Okay.
So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes that whatever we present or understand should be supported by Shruti, Smriti and sound logic. So then Prabhupada explained the role of sound logic in the representation to people. But in one translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes, that shloka is achintya khaluye bhava na tam starke na yoje prakrutim param yachya tad achintyasya lakshanam. Anything transcendental to material nature is called inconceivable, whereas arguments are all mundane, since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matter. So one should not try to understand transcendental subjects through mundane argument. So in one place Prabhupada supports logic and another place it is contained in translation itself. So how you can understand?
There's a letter, by the way, remind me something about your database, I'll tell you in a second, just remind me. There's a letter to Sasrup Das Goswami where Prabhupada is talking on this point of logic and Shabda. And Prabhupada says that our process is not actually a process of Vedic authority and logic. It's Vedic authority. So the logic is for the benefit of others who can't accept the Vedic authority. For them, we use logic. Actually, our authority, you know, Krishna, what he says, we may understand it logically or not, But Krishna said it, that's all. We accept. Logic or no logic on our part. What Krishna said, that's not because of Chintukaluye and Pava, that comes Tarkani Yopi. What's beyond the mind can't be figured out by the mind or intelligence. So our process is logic, just like the father says, this is a watch. So the child has to accept this is a watch. He may understand it, he may not understand it. But if he accepts it from the father, then he knows that he gets the right knowledge. This is a watch. So our process is not authority and logic, it's authority. So, and the logic is just to help people understand or to bring people to the point. Prabhupada gave he cited Chandrashakanyai, that the logic of the branches and the tree, branches and the moon. So someone is looking for you want to show someone, there's the moon. And they say, where's the moon? I say, no, right over there. See, right over that branch. Actually, the branch and the moon are far away. But by reference to something that you can see, you point it towards something that he doesn't see. So they're accustomed to logic, so we may use logic to help them understand what's beyond the jurisdiction of their logic. Is that okay?
So, but we are not on that platform. Whatever Krishna says, I will accept.
Why not?
Otherwise, still lust is
why not? Why not? And whatever Krishna says, why should we not accept? We have a better method. Logic is not superior. Just like, you know, we've heard, well, by one example, one logic you get, you only hear from one person, by another logic you get different. But we settle the matter by authority. Prabhupada said, hear from many. That's it. We don't care about any how good your logic is anymore. This is what the authority said.
But if you observe Prabhupada's books, those books are given to us to read and assimilate. Mm-hmm. But all books, you see, they are filled up with logic and arguments. In fact, very Ishopanishad, it is completely designed on Panchangane, logic, Vishaya Samshaya, Purvapaksha, Sangati, and Uttar. So, can you please focus on this?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's for the benefit of others, including us. The logic may help us understand something. The spiritual master explains things logically and so on. Actually, if you just accept, you're done. But because we're not quite there. So then logic is given and so on. And okay. The Vedabase point. Who has a copy of the Vedabase on their computers, here or anyplace else? A few. So you might already know, but if you don't, you can get proper diacritic marks from the database. Because if you don't, normally if you cut and paste, you get all these squiggles and things, unless people use exactly the font that you use. But there's a database plugin that translates everything into Unicode. So that if you export something from the database, copy and paste, and then paste it into Facebook or paste it into any document or paste it into anything that uses Unicode, which is most fonts these days, it comes out right. Instead of it being tied to fonts from a previous century, really, fonts from a previous century that are no longer needed for any other purpose and no longer the rest of the world doesn't know anything about. So that plugin is easy, it's free, it's easy to install and easy to use. Go to my website, jswami.info, look down the right-hand column where there's some various other sites that you might be interested in, and one of them says, you know, code support for the beta database. You can pick up the plugin by going to that site, and all the instructions are there. And welcome to the 21st century. Okay, your question.
So, my question is about this purport of Srila Prabhupada from 1.1.1. So, he's writing there that within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavata. And the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental message. So Prabhupada is writing here like this, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita he is writing something similar about one must go through the literature spent written by Acharya to make actual spiritual advancement. Something to that I was just trying to find out, I could not find. So my question is, Maharaj, about this reading about the previous Acharya commentary. So when, how, and how much? Can you please throw a light on this?
Okay. First thing is that, yes, Prabhupada says in a few places that one can or should take advantage of these commentaries. Especially there are commentaries that Srila Prabhupada appreciated very much. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Srila Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. We sort of know which names would be the headline names in our sampradaya put on with the commentary. His Holiness Bhagavan Maharaj has rendered commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur into English and others also, I think. Vaishnav Toshini is also, he's done. So they're becoming available. And one can take advantage of them. They don't replace Prabhupada's purports. Prabhupada's purports, it's not that unless you read these commentaries, you're just not going to make it. You're going to be stuck in the mud somewhere, and you know, when all the big readers go back to Godhead, Prabhupada's commentaries are sufficient. But one can get further insight and understanding, and as Prabhupada said, appreciation, one can relish further by consulting these other commentaries. First, one should get a grounding in Prabhupada's books. That's the first thing before we start wandering off into other commentaries. We should get a good, solid understanding of what Prabhupada is presenting. We should become well-versed in Srila Prabhupada's books. Then you'll see, as you consult the other commentaries, how much is in Prabhupada's commentaries, how the same ideas that perhaps are presented in a more technical language or in reference to a different time and culture have been transported by Srila Prabhupada into modern English and the modern context in a way that preserves the essential ideas but makes them wonderfully accessible. So, you see what Prabhupada selected, what he's chosen not to talk about. Your appreciation of Prabhupada's books grows more. Sometimes also some point that you didn't understand, you know, what was Prabhupada saying? When you see it stated again in a different way, you get, oh, that's what it was about. And so that gives further illumination. Or you thought that's what it was about, but now it's confirmed because you weren't quite sure. So it's a wonderful contribution being made by Bhagavan Maharaj and others, making these commentaries available. I think I answered, you know, I don't have an answer how much, you know, well, 10%, 2%, 5%. I'm not going to do that. We already set aside the percentage gain earlier. So I think that covers it, yeah.
As long as our Prabhupada's appreciation grows, if after grounding in Prabhupada's purport, after reading them, if Prabhupada's appreciation is growing, that is a kind of a
yeah, the problem. Purpose, the purpose of reading these commentaries also is not to become a bookworm or a show-off. You know, I've read so many commentaries, or, you know, what have you read? Here's what I've read. What do you know? Here's what I know. What technical terms can you use? Here's the technical terms we use. That's rather childish. It's like, I don't know how it is in India, but a common taunt, a common way that, a common thing that one child says to tease another child. I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. So we don't want to read books so that we can go up to other Vaishnavas and say, I know something you don't know. Then we know a lot less than we thought we knew. Our purpose is to become pure, to become, to be restored to our natural healthy condition. And the beginning of knowledge is samanitva, humility. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami says that one should avoid acharya, eating too much or collecting too much. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if I recall, has commented that that includes books. And collecting many books, and so here you have a shelves full of books, or you've read, you know, a little of this, a little of that, or all of this and all of that. You haven't quite grasped the conclusion. You haven't quite grasped the conclusion. You've read so many things, but the simple devotee who hasn't read as much is more advanced because he's grasped the essence. Of course, you could read many and also grasp the essence, but simply to collect and stuff it in won't help us. Our purpose is service. So to serve the spiritual master and to serve our own spiritual advancement, but not independently of the spiritual master's program. Okay. Okay. Another question here. There's a comment there. This is helpful since I didn't bring it. What is the meaning of real association? Please differentiate real association and practicing out of social status. It's not the clearest question. But the idea is that our association should be, well, it's different. Association with the materialist should just be superficial and limited. We don't want to associate deeply with the materialist. And we don't want to associate at all with the mind bodies and the ideas and so on. But with the devotees, priti lakshana, priti is wanted, loving relationships with devotees. And that association means association in devotional service or through devotional service. It's not that when you hang out with Vaishnavas,
doing nonsense together. That's association. When people with beads and tilak are hanging around speaking prajalpa, that's sangha. The association means Krishna conscious association. That's what we're looking for. Bodhyanta paraspara, katina prasthana, serving Krishna together, hearing about Krishna, reminding one another about Krishna, that kind of association. Then in that context, the dati, pratigra dati, kuya pankhati, prajapati, okte, kojayate, and chayate. Is that okay? It's interesting. I'm struggling to follow the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Is it right for me to aspire to become a pure devotee if I have many disqualifications? Yes. There's some prayer by, is it Madhavendra Puri? Or cited in Nectar Devotion, says that I have no this and I know that, I'm not even born in a good family, but somehow or other I have this aspiration to serve, and that desire is even giving me pain in my heart. You'll find it in Nectar Devotion. It's addressed to Gopijana Vallabha, I think he prays to Gopijana Vallabha in that regard. So see if you can. Yes, we're all disqualified. Anyone who comes to this material world is by definition a criminal. But the criminals are advised to reform and become pure devotees. So despite all of our disqualifications, yes, it's right. Maybe if you search for born in a good family or something. Along with Gopijana Vallabha. Otherwise there's too many born in a good family. How to successfully retain brahmacharya and sannyas within this material world till the end, and after leaving the body attained the spiritual world. Brahmacharya, sannyas. Well, the first thing is to be always engaged in Krishna's service. We quoted that verse the other day, that Pada Pagata Palasha Vilasha Bhaktya Ashayam Mudpratayati Santa Tadvan Vikta Mateo Ayatiyo Vyuta Tamarana Trotro Vinastavanya Vinastavanya. Just to stop sex desire, which is the subject matter usually, just to stop sex desire will be very difficult. To engage the mind, to tell the mind, don't think of this, don't think of that, don't think of this, don't think of this. But to absorb the mind in Krishna consciousness, that's the path recommended for us. If we're beyond Krishna time, when there's Krishna, there can't be mind. We're always engaged in Krishna's service, and there's no room for Maya's service. That's the idea. Of course, there's some practical rules. Principle among them, don't mix intimately or freely with women. If you want to be a brahmachari, don't hang out with the girls, for crying out loud. This is logic. Avoid the so things, particularly mantras, vastra, vidhra, bhanda, vidhasa. There's a famous Christian preacher. Yeah, so many famous Christian preachers have lost their reputation by getting involved with women. But there was one very big Christian preacher, Billy Graham, famous. Now he's very old. But he never went down. You know, he never got caught in any scandal. And he said at one point that he made it a strict rule never to be alone with a woman, even with his secretary. He said, because the devil is in the loins, in the private parts. And so even, you know, he's not in our Vedic line, but he knew the same principle, that hanging out with women is trouble, and especially being alone. One should never be alone. One time, you know the story, the Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and his sister came to see him, and the servant went off to do something else. He figured, you know, my brother and sister will have something, you know, things to talk about. And he came back. Why did you leave me alone with that woman? And she was like, you know, they're both in their 60s and 70s. But why did you leave me alone with that woman? Oh, one should be very careful. Yes.
We should be first read version of Prabhupada books before reading the Rajaras commentaries. So how do I know that I'm well-versed?
It's not like, you know, there's some sort of a, how do we know that we're well-versed and then we can read the commentaries? It's not that there's got to be some sort of a certificate that now you reach this point, now you can open the book. But, I may, at some early stage, read something else. Read a page, read a purport. It's not that, we have a ceremony, you are now. But everything should be properly balanced, just like you eat lunch. So it's basically rice, dal, chapatis, little chutney. Maybe little pakora, but little chili. But it's not that you turn things around and you basically have chutney for lunch with a little rice put on it or chapati on the side. One has to know that this is how you eat. Rice, dal, chapati, little pakora, maybe a little sweet, little sweet chutney. So in that way, that Prabhupada's books are the main course. Prabhupada's books, or even, taking that same word, if you're in college, there's your main textbooks, then something you consult, something you look at. But you know that this is my textbook.
So, in our daily life, means Prabhupada books we should read continuously, but apart from that, with our seniors' blessings, sometimes we can read some reference books, other books like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Very first purport of Prabhupada is that one should not sit on Vyasasan unless he is expert.
One should not.
Sit on Vyasasan unless he is expert in six systems of philosophy. So, does it imply that while reading Prabhupada books, it will happen automatically, or we have to specially endeavor for that?
Yeah, I should probably sit on the floor. One shouldn't sit on the asana until he's expert in his six philosophies. Yes, of course, the real Prabhupada is given almost a tour de force discussion of these different darshans. in the prayers by the personified Vedas chapter of Krishna book. It's really a short chapter in the Sanskrit, and Prabhupada has made it, you know, almost a book in itself. And there he's dealt with the basic principles of these different philosophies. Of course, much more can be said. There's volumes of literature about each one of them. But there Prabhupada has given the idea. You saw practically that Prabhupada expected of us that we would be able to, as he said, reproduce what I've given in my books. So just cram the purports and speak the same thing. And we'll be good enough. But not that we should be, what's the word, indifferent. We should try to understand these things because they're also a problem.
One more question. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a shloka there. Sakala jana kare more vidhi bhakti. Vidhi bhakti vrajabhava paiti nahi shakti. So unless all the world is doing vedi sadhana bhakti, but we can't get madhuri bhakti, love of Lord, by vedi sadhana bhakti. So how does it imply to us? What should we do?
One can't get love of. Let's have that verse again.
Sakala jana kare more vaidhi bhakti.
Everybody's worshipping me by vaidhi bhakti.
Vaidhi bhakti vrajabhava paite nahi shakti.
But vaidhi bhakti vrajabhava
paite nahi shakti.
Yeah, just by vaidhi bhakti you don't get vrajabhava. But without Vaidhi Bhakti, you're very unlikely to get Vaidhi Bhakti either. Vaidhi Bhakti is essential, but it's not the be-all and end-all. The Vaidhi Bhakti should mature over time into more spontaneous modes of devotional service. But one can't fake it. You can't, spontaneous means spontaneous. So how does one become spontaneous? By following Vaidhi Bhakti and by, enlivenment or mercy from the association of advanced devotees, on the mercy of Krishna. The Vaidhi Bhakti is not that some that you just, okay, we did the Vaidhi Bhakti thing, now we're on to Vrajabhava. When we read about the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Deep Goswami, they were doing Vaidhi Bhakti to an extent that we can't hope to. Who is it? Was it Raghunath Das Goswami? It said that his principles of devotional service were like a line carved in stone. You know, his sadhana was like a line carved in stone. And what are we? You know, we struggle to get up from under our tears. So it's not that the advanced devotees, Raharidas Thakur in his old age, still, no, I have to finish my mass. So it's not that we give up Vaidhi Bhakti because spontaneous devotional service is what really pleases Krishna. But by seriously performing Vaidhi Bhakti under the direction of the spiritual master, one makes progress. And then the next stage will come, spontaneous modes of devotional service. You can't jump there. And Prabhupada always cautioned us about that. We're always eager to jump and then you fall on your face. She would be our Sridhar Maharaj. One time said that if you know, there are different stages, Shraddha, sarvasangha, bhajana krita, nartibhuti, anarthanibhuti, and so on. He said, if you skip any one of those stages, that portion will be final. You know, like you build some structure, and one floor is like fragile or feeble, then your whole building could collapse. Just like we see sometimes, some years ago in Bombay, some building collapsed because the builders were on the cheap. You know, if you had to have this much sand in the cement, then they had 10% less because they could save some rupees. And finally, just the building one day just collapsed. It looked good for a while, and then it collapsed. So that can happen if we pretend to be more advanced than we are, or we think we can sort of catapult into transcendence. Then the danger is that we can look good for a while, but then crash, because the foundation beneath it is not strong. The structure beneath it is not strong. It's not real. It's the pretense of spontaneous devotional service, especially when there's the, you know, there's pride and pratishtha and all that involved. Then, you know, and we've seen many people who've sort of stood tall on the platform of spontaneous bhakti, and then just next thing you heard, they were, you know, had some other kind of spontaneous relationship. You should be careful to follow step by step, step by step. Rupa Gosha, Satta Karma Pramartya, doing all the things we're supposed to do, and with enthusiasm and with patience, following the way we'll get there. I'll tell you, just we're going to end now because it's 4 o'clock, but I'll end with a story that our BBT trustee for North America during Srila Prabhupada's time was Ramachara Swami. And in a class in Los Angeles, he said, Ramachara is a very intense person, and he speaks very with great urgency and force, and, you know, really, you know, very sort of, very forceful and strongly. So he said in some class that, and he was very, very strong about pushing book distribution, really pushing. So he said in one class that the devotees who are distributing books are introducing the conditioned souls to Krishna. So in that sense, they're like the gopis who are introducing, bringing others into devotional service. They're like the gopis who are bringing others into connection with Krishna. And some of our, you know, that didn't go down so well with all of our devotees in Los Angeles. This is, you know, like, oh my God, I'm not sure again. You know, cooked up his example. So someone wrote to Prabhupada and said, Ramachara has said this, and probably confirmed, yes, he is right. I'm very happy to hear your book scores in the morning. That's kind of what brought me to that point. But I was hearing the scores, and those are serious scores, 300 books, maha big books, and then, you know, 5 here and 10 there and 50 here and 100 there and 200, and then it's going up, and it's 300, and it's 300 plus. And then the total was quite substantial. And this was January, not December. So very, very impressed and pleased to hear these numbers. And it's a sign of your success and your dedication. And like an indication of further success and further expansion and further advancement for the devotees who are doing this. You know, we talk, how do you get spontaneous love for Krishna? Distribute books. Because Natratasman Manusheshu Krishna Kripitamai. Krishna is pleased. If the spiritual master is pleased, if Krishna is pleased, what more do you need? And what pleases Prabhupada more than distributing his books? So my thanks and congratulations and encouragement to all the devotees doing this wonderful service. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai, Gaur Premanande.